Well, it's been another beautiful Lord's Day. And we serve a mighty God, a God who has done great things for us, and a God who continues to do great things for us. Tonight, I appreciate the songs Carl led. He asked me this morning what I was going to be preaching on this evening. And I told him I was going to be preaching on the subject of bitterness. And I really appreciate the songs that he chose that were all dealing with focusing on the heart. The one that we haven't sung quite as much is a song that I've always, it's been a favorite of mine. And when I hear the words of that song and what we're singing each other and encouraging each other to be, seems sometimes like an impossible task. You know, can I really have a heart that forgives people who do injury to me? And you know, when you phrase it that way, sometimes we might think, well, how can I when someone is so cruel and unkind, and maybe it's gone on for years or decades, and I've felt resentment. Could I ever have a heart of forgiveness? Jesus did. As I think about bitterness, I think there is a great illustration of bitterness that has sadly touched many of our lives, if not our life personally, the life of someone we've loved, and that's the sickness of cancer. A cancer is a sickness that, if left untreated, will grow significantly and oftentimes aggressively worse. And if you don't catch it, then sometimes by the time it's found, it's already too late. When I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2011, I didn't understand why it had happened. It was really sort of out of nowhere. Everything had been fine. In my mind, I'd been healthy and had taken some care of my body, and I was young and strong, and there it was, right there, in my neck. And all I understood at that time was it had to be dealt with, and it had to be dealt with decisively and quickly. Because if it wasn't, what ended up being a small problem in the scheme of my life could have become dangerous and severe. Well, the ailment of bitterness is a spiritual cancer. It is something that exists, and I fear it affects a number of even God's people in different ways. And the Bible describes it, in fact, as a type of weed that springs up and can defile many. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of bitterness with the hopes that we are able to identify it when it begins to creep up in us, and when we find it, understand that the Lord gives us the strength to cut it out. Now, our text this evening is going to first be Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17, where our brother Stuart just read. And in this passage, we have an encouragement given to Christians to help encourage and uplift the weak. And so in verses 12 and 13, we are told to strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And so this is our desire for each other, to work and encourage and strengthen each other so that we are able to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God, so that we are strong enough to continue on the path of life in a manner that is pleasing to God, and that when trouble arises in our life, our joints may be healed. And then in verse 14, he tells us to pursue peace with all men. Pursue peace. Excuse me. The term pursue there is actually, in the New Testament, most often translated as persecute. You know, and you think about that. Well, pursue, persecute, how are they related to each other? Well, it's often used in connection with the enemies of God's people who chase down at all cost to stamp out the gospel or to inflict some sort of pain upon a Christian so as to cause them to stop preaching Jesus Christ. And so they pursue it, they persecute it, they chase it down. And I can't help but think of that time in the book of Acts where there were some 40 Jews who swore an oath that they would not eat until the Apostle Paul had been captured and put to death. And again, what that describes is an intensity that will not rest until the objective is achieved. And so here we are told to pursue peace with all men. And that is our goal. That is something we chase after. That is something that we want to find in our lives. We think of those words that Jesus spoke, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called Son of God." And so we pursue that. But there's something else we also pursue. We also pursue a sanctification in which, without which, no man will see the Lord. And so we pursue a peace with man, and we pursue a peace with God, the holiness that is necessary in seeing the Lord. And so this is something we want for our lives. Peace with men and peace with God. In verse 15, again, he gives some instructions about encouraging one another. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. And so this term, see to it, is literally take oversight, look out for. In the word that is translated, see to it, is the word scope. You know, you put your scope on it, you look out, you make sure you got your eye on where the danger might be coming. And if you've ever studied the eldership, you may know that the word bishop comes from the Greek word episkopao. And this is the verb form of that very same word. And so, again, it's sort of like, this is what we are all aware of, that there's a type of danger that can spring up in a person's life, and by that danger, many be defiled. And what is that danger that we are looking out for? The danger is that a root of bitterness starts in someone's life, and perhaps at first manifests itself in causing them to not pursue peace with all men. There's conflict somewhere, and then it results in a compromise of our holiness. We are no longer sanctified. We are no longer in a relationship by which we can see God. So here's what we're seeing. This is what we're looking out for. This is what we're pursuing. We're pursuing a peace with man and a peace with God. And we don't want any trace of bitterness in our lives because we understand the danger that bitterness can cause. In verse 16 and 17, he gives the example of Esau. And of course, when you think about Esau, he's described here as an immoral man. But as he's bringing up Esau, I believe it's appropriate in the text to see Esau as also a bitter man. He was a bitter man who had grown unhappy. He was a bitter man who despised spiritual things and elevated the value of physical things. And that sort of approach to life breeds bitterness. It creates hate. It creates jealousy. It creates selfish ambition, and all of those things create bitterness. And so Esau is brought to our attention as an example. And so we need to be people who remove every root of bitterness. Now, as we give this charge, or as we consider this charge that is given to us, this is definitely one of those areas that is easier said than done. When I think about the complications that come from bitterness, I mean, sometimes they're untraceable. You know, you can't measure it, you can't map it out. You may not even necessarily know where it comes from. You know, and you imagine a person who comes to the conclusion they need to to go to see a psychologist, and they go to the psychologist, and they're trying to find some root of some personality character flaw they have, and it ends up they say, well, it's something to do with when you're 5, you know, and it's like, well, who would have ever figured that out, right? You know, and I think bitterness is kind of like that. I don't know why we carry it with us. We know the danger. We know the effect that it can have in our lives. It can rob us of peace, and it can rob us of holiness. Yet, we allow it to take such a deep hold in our hearts. Again, you kind of say, well, am I ever going to be able to get rid of this root of bitterness? Well, let's talk about bitterness in and of itself a little further. Bitterness is a feeling of deep anger or ill will. That is, I believe, is as good of a description of bitterness as we can come up with. Sometimes we might associate bitterness with sorrow. Maybe bitterness is a deep sorrow or grief that one might feel. And bitterness is not those things. Now, sorrow, deep sorrow, can often cause bitterness, but sorrow in and of itself is not bitterness. Bitterness comes upon us when we hold on to a deep feeling, a strong animosity, a strong hatred, and inside us there becomes, again, this sort of resentfulness and vindication that we feel towards others. In the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, it describes bitterness as something that pierces with the sharpness of arrows. The term is also used in the Septuagint to describe the bitter waters at Meribah. So it's like this pervasive, dangerous smell. And so that is bitterness. Some have described it as sort of a shrill noise, like scratching the chalkboard. You know, all of these are descriptions of this feeling of anger and ill will that we might have towards someone else. Now, bitterness is something that can affect anyone. In fact, it will affect us at some point in our life. No one is immune to this struggle. But oftentimes, we're good at couching it in different terms. You know, I'm not really bitter. I'm a realist, right? I'm honest with the situation. I'm willing to say what no one else is willing to say. The world is not fair, and I'm the only one who will admit it. But bitterness is an ongoing condition of despair that is phrased in a way that is just an admittance of the reality. To have bitterness in the heart is a dangerous place to be. I have a little bitterness quiz for you. Let me ask you to answer a few questions for yourself. And you have to be honest for yourself. Here are some questions, you know. Does it irritate you when people disagree with you? Do you find yourself giving more criticisms than complaints, than compliments? Are you short-tempered with people? Do you avoid conversations with people who know what you want to people you know want to talk about your spiritual condition? Do you isolate yourself, especially from other Christians? Do I let everyone know on social media how frustrated or angered I am? Is it difficult to talk to someone who has hurt you in the past without constantly bringing up the slight again? Do your conversations tend to turn into arguments? Do you always often feel mistreated or betrayed? Do you feel like God has let you down? Do you forget the good people have done for you and only focus on the times you feel like others have let you down? Do you constantly accuse or assume that everyone is judgmental and wants to see you fail? Is your cynicism of others your most defining trait? And the final question, do you find questions like these make you defensive? I don't remember where I got that list, and some of it has been adapted over the years, but If you've answered yes to a number of those questions, then the problem might be bitterness. And bitterness will rob you of the joy that you can feel. It will adversely affect your relationships with other people. It will rob your peace with men. And worst of all, it can rob you of your relationship with God. Bitterness is a dangerous, pervasive attitude. It affects our spiritual health. It will eat away at the vitality of your spiritual life until your ability to serve God will ultimately be destroyed. Bitterness spreads fast. It destroys families and it destroys churches. So what is the source of bitterness? Here are some possibilities. Bitterness can be found on facts. It can be founded upon legitimate facts. Life, right? Sometimes the source of bitterness in our minds may be that I have been dealt a difficult hand. And because people haven't been to me as they ought to have been, I resent them, and my bitterness is just a result of how tough my life has been. And I have no doubt that in our life there will be sorrows that some of us will experience, or that we all will experience in some way, one time or another, that will hurt in ways that are difficult to describe. And, you know, sometimes when we're faced with a situation, we might say, well, how can I even deal with this? And in that moment that I'm struggling with that, there's sometimes the only thing left to say is I can't understand it, but yeah, that hurts. So sometimes maybe that's the source of our bitterness. It's founded on things that have actually happened, and you can argue really against facts. They're there. You see it. This is the experience. This is why I feel this way. Sometimes bitterness can be founded on misconceptions, though. Have you ever known someone who had an anger that was based upon a thought that wasn't true? And maybe it's not that they've intentionally made it up. It's not that they've just sort of created it themselves, but they felt it. Their feelings were real, and they created resentment in our hearts. Sometimes, though, on these misconceptions, we can become the type of person that will always assign the worst possible motives to everybody. And, you see someone's actions, and there's probably about 5 or 6 ways you can maybe get to the bottom of why they did it, and you're always going to choose the worst one. You know, and that's sometimes what happens to us. Sometimes how we act. Well, bitterness, though, isn't ultimately founded on facts. It's not ultimately founded on misconceptions. It's founded in the heart. Bitterness is a matter of the heart. It is not a situation. It's not a circumstance. It's not what someone else does. It is a heart problem. Bitterness is a problem that exists because I have been taken away by whatever events in life have taken me there. You know, I can't control what other people do, but I can control how I react. I can't control what happens to me, but I can control how I respond. I have to learn to see bitterness as a heart problem that needs to be responded to. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And I want you to think about, again, the source of bitterness. Where does it come from? James chapter 3, verses 14. We'll read through verse 16. It says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." So here, James 3, 14 through 16 points out that both bitterness and selfish ambition are matters of the heart. And do you notice what harboring bitterness in your heart creates in your relationship with other people? In verse 16 it says there is jealousy, selfish ambition, there is disorder, there is every evil thing. And so this is what selfishness brews. It creates a bitterness inside of me that affects my ability to pursue peace with all men. James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. We read, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Again, he's going on the results of having bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. What does it do? It creates strife. The bitterness in my heart creates strife with other people. Bitterness and the problems caused by it begin in the heart. Turn to James chapter 1. And so this bitterness will affect my relationships with others. And again, it will affect my relationship with God. James chapter 1, 14 through 16. We read, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And so I must repent of this sin. I must not allow it to destroy my relationship with others and bring me spiritual death. Sin comes from the heart. It always has, it always will. That is where sin originates, and it needs to be dealt with, it needs to be worked on. Now, bitterness, again, we can say it's no worse of a sin than any other, but just like any sin, if you continue in it willingly, and if we are not trying to deal with those sorts of matters of the heart as they begin to surface, it brings forth death. And bitterness, like a cancer, again, will start out small, but if left untreated, it will spread, and it will spread to the entire person. And so we need to cut it out. We need to repent of it. We need to remove every trace of it. So how do you do that? Again, easier said than done, admittedly. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we have some instructions that I believe are helpful in dealing with a bitter heart. You know, you can't really remove something unless you're also going to replace it. If you don't replace it, then it's going to come back. And I need to remove the bitter heart and replace it with a tender heart. Ephesians chapter 4, read with me verses 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And so here you have bitterness, among other things, and what Paul is telling them to do is cleanse, take that off, and put on a tender heart. Change the way you think. Again, I can't control my situation all the time, but I can control my perception. I can't control what other people do, but I can control how I look at it. And what bitterness does is it tempts us to be hard-hearted even towards good things. It tempts us to be cold-hearted towards others. And so, you know, we find ourselves saying, "Well, I hope that person gets what they deserve." And we find ourselves, on other occasions, isolating ourselves from those people. You find this ability to build up a wall between everyone who could ever possibly help us. And what you see in that is a bitter, hardened heart. But the tender-hearted person, when there's problems, they want to resolve them. They feel a sensitivity to them, and they want to see that those problems are resolved and taken care of quickly. They don't like to be controlled by those angry, ungodly emotions, those deeds of the flesh. They want to be controlled by something else, like the fruit of the Spirit. And so here I am struggling with bitterness, and if I see it, if I identify it, I need to think to myself, how can I develop a tender heart? Don't let bitterness control you. Don't let your bitterness become a weed that springs up, and by it defiles many. Replace the bitter heart with a tender heart. Well, also in Ephesians 4:32, we read to be forgiving to each other. And forgiveness is key. Forgiveness is key. In our selfishness, sometimes in our bitterness, we have a host of excuses we give for not being forgiving people. These include revenge. You know, we develop a joy for hating others. We may say something like, I'm too angry to forgive. We may say, like, I can't let them get away with this. And what is that? It's jealousy. We may say, if I let that wall down again, I'm just going to be hurt again. And so you have fear. Sometimes it's pride. I know I was right. They were wrong. And all of these stand as barriers to being willing to forgive. Maybe we say, I can't even forgive myself. How can I forgive someone else? There's so many excuses. But the ultimate excuse for not forgiving is that we won't forgive. My freshman band teacher had a sign in his office. It said this: I can'ts are worse than I won'ts, and I won'ts are not accepted. And so when you were practicing with H, that's what he went by, Dr. Helster, you were not allowed to say, I can't, because you could. And that was his approach. That was how he taught. And he says, the only thing, you know, and he said, I can'ts are so bad, they are actually worse than a refusal. I can'ts are worse than I won'ts. And so here we are in a situation to where we need to learn to be forgiving, and we need to learn and remember that God empowers us always to do what is right. I can do the right thing, even when it is difficult. God's grace is sufficient, no matter how much I may struggle. And when I forgive others, just like Ephesians 4:32, I reflect the very mercy that God has shown for me. So I can do it. I can do it because I am one who has been covered by the blood of Jesus, and He has removed my sin. And so forgive. Forgiveness is key. And to forgive is to no longer resent. You have to be willing to let go of those feelings that you have for the one you've forgiven. Finally, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to say, finally, we need to confess it to God, give it to God. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give it to God. Come to Jesus. Lay it on Him. If you are weary and heavy laden from carrying bitterness with you, confess it to God. Speak it to God. Acknowledge it to God. Because Jesus, in fact, is the great physician. He is the only one skilled enough to remove the sickness of bitterness from our hearts. Imagine if every single piece of trash you ever had was put into a bag and you had to carry it. You had to hold on to it. Bring it everywhere you go. Well, that is what bitterness is doing. Bitterness, again, it's carrying every regret, every slight, everything that never went our way, everywhere we go. Well, what would you do to a person who had a bag of physical trash, who knows how big it would be, and they're trying to walk, and they can't get anywhere because the trash, the burden, is too great to bear? You would say, well, let go. Stop carrying it around. It's not logical to do something like that. You gotta take out the trash. And see, what Jesus does in places like Matthew 11 is he says, come to me, and I will relieve you of the burden that you are carrying. Lay it on him, never pick it up again. Well, thank you so much for your kind attention this evening. I hope in some small way, if you struggle in this area, that this lesson has been an encouragement to you to, if nothing else, take action. Get rid of the spiritual sickness. Don't let it rob you of the joy and comfort that can be found in Christ Jesus. Pursue peace with all men. Pursue the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Do you have that tonight? Is that yours? Are you living with the peace of God? Or are you carrying on to something that makes that hard to see? Well, if you are not a Christian this evening, we want to invite you to come to Jesus and lay every sin that you have upon him. We're going to sing the song of encouragement that Carl has selected. And again, our desire is that if there is anyone here who, for any reason, is standing outside of the fellowship of God, that they don't leave here tonight without doing whatever it might take to make that right. And if you are in need of prayers, we will, as your brothers and sisters, do what we can to continue to strengthen you as you have strengthened us. If you are not a Christian, then we will prepare the waters and we will baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation?